would all agree with me that there are some events which are so important to the history of the world that we cannot really overstate that importance. One of these is the day of Pentecost. And I don't really think that we give enough attention to the significance of the day of Pentecost. And the reason that the day of Pentecost is so significant is that it is the day on which the church was born. That was the day. It's not the day in which the church began, in the sense it began much earlier in God's mind and his plan, but this was the day in which it was born. It was a very dramatic event in which the Holy Spirit came. And what I've been trying to do is unlock the significance of the day of Pentecost. And on a previous occasion, we looked at it through the perspective of a promise. And the day of Pentecost and the events of the day of Pentecost were the fulfillment of a promise. And the promise was given by the Lord Jesus to his disciples that they were to remain in Jerusalem and wait until they received the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to look today at part of Acts chapter 2. And if you have Bibles with you, you might like to turn to Acts chapter 2. Because what happens here is that the promise which the Lord Jesus Christ gave is actually fulfilled. And the first part of the chapter deals with that. And I just want to read some sections to you. So I'm going to read here from the NIV, beginning at verse 1 of Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So there is the fulfillment of the promise. And what the fulfillment of the promise actually was that the Christians were filled with the Holy Spirit and empowered and equipped for ministry as witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the evidence of that was that they all spoke with actual human language, which they had not previously learned. The disciples were all able miraculously to speak with foreign languages that they had not previously learned. So the promise was fulfilled. Predictably, the fulfillment of the promise caused a lot of confusion. So if we go on and read the next part of verse 5, it says, "Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment." So they had no idea what was going on. They were very confused because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs." So I've kind of gone racing through that just to give you the feel for the fact there was a huge mixture of people from all kinds of different countries speaking different, who would understand different languages, and they heard the disciples speaking in their own language, because the disciples were actually speaking in their own languages. They heard, and verse 11 says, "We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." What an amazing event this was. But predictably, people were confused. Verse 12, "Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They have had too much wine.'" So that was the group, the onlookers, were confused, and this is the way that they divided up. You know something, I think that in church you can often divide people into three different groups. Maybe it's like that this morning. First group are those who are kind of, well, a wee bit puzzled about what's going on, but they're interested, they want to know more. And these are what we call honest inquirers. They were amazed and perplexed, and they said, "Oh, what does this mean?" It's like, "Well, this is interesting. You know, I want to know more about this. Perhaps I'll sign up for the Alpha course or something to find out a bit more about Christianity." I don't know what group you're in. Perhaps you're in that group. Then there's the second group who are the sneering cynics. And there are always cynics. It's just like, oh, this is so uncool. It's just like, oh, this is, oh, they were drunk. Oh, yeah, they're drunk. Well, that is. Could they not have thought of something better than that? So they're kind of cynics. Is that what you are? You're kind of, maybe you're here and you think, this is just nothing for me. Why did I come? Why did I agree to come this morning? It's just like, this is awful. And then there's the third group, and they're not actually mentioned in the passage at all. They're just like the, oh, well, whatever. He's like, huh? Yeah? What? Huh? They're not even mentioned here. Which group are you in? Is that you just like, huh? So not looking at anyone in particular when I said that. So the people were confused, very confused. And I think we would probably be confused as well, were it not for the fact that one of Jesus' very close followers, the Apostle Peter, stands up and he explains what's happened. And this is the substance of what I'm going to say this morning. Verse 14, Peter stood up with the 11, that's the rest of the disciples, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Thank you, Peter. We're so glad to have you with us this morning. So, you know, those of you who come along thinking that James McKenzie is the preacher, it's actually going to be the Apostle Peter. So that's really cool. You can go home and say that it was Peter who was preaching in church today. Basically, what he is saying is, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And what we come to here is the second key to understanding the significance of the day of Pentecost. And that key is a prophecy.